welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. I don't know if you hear it a little bit in my voice. I have a little cold, a little sniff, and you know, one thing I will always say is if there's anything I come with to this podcast, to you, is authenticity. And although this work keeps me from getting sick, like most of the time, I don't think it's been a couple years since I've even had a cold. And we can talk more about that in a minute. But once in a while, high stress time, not enough time for journal speak, family, holidays, stress, always leads to a couple poor nights of sleep. I got a little bit of a cold. It entered through the back door and it's fine. I mean, I'm totally managing it, but if you hear it in my voice, that is the truth. I will talk for a moment about your immune system just before we kick into the rest of the show. Your immune system is affected greatly by the stress you are under and the amount of time you spend in fight or flight. It's just, you know, your immune system is affected by the amount of cortisol and adrenaline that is flooding your body, which of course, are the hormones that you receive when you are under stress and your brain and your nervous system feel that it is time to fight, flee, or freeze or fawn. And so when you are doing this work on a daily basis and putting your ladle in that most emotional reservoir and dumping it out, you will find yourself less and less likely to contract anything. Many times I live through my kids having colds or flus or, you know, any sort of thing that they could catch. And I just, I'm in the house with them and I just don't catch it. Interestingly enough, my daughter had the full-on flu last week. I didn't catch that, but I did get a little cold. So I'm on like the third day of it. But I guess what I'm saying is, I don't think that journal speaking your heart out is going to make your cold go away that day, but I certainly think consistent practice will make your immune system robust. And in so doing, you will not catch that cold in the first place, because of course, germs are everywhere all the time. And so any of us could get sick. And so the reasons we don't get sick are all around our immune system. So just figured I would throw that out there. Obviously, I have not been taking tip-top care of myself, which, like, hello, nobody can do that all the time. That's the thing. You can't always do it. You know, I definitely have like been going, have not had time for my journal speak, super stress with book deadline and trying to keep everyone happy over the holidays and travel. And so, you know, there it is. But I wear it loosely. I don't give it a lot of meaning. I certainly don't give it any fear. And I just say, hey, I'm going to roll through this. So I hope the same for you in your, in whatever's beating you up over the season, over this day, week, what have you. So as we move through this hectic time, some of the weeks we will do a best of in order to keep the podcast rolling when we don't have time to do fully original content. And this is one of those weeks, but it's a really, really important episode that bears repeating. So unless you have heard it super recently, I really encourage you to stick around and listen to Gary's long COVID story. I get hundreds of emails about long COVID, and many of them at this point, which is really heartening, are emails thanking me because they have come across my work via articles written, via podcasts shared, via interview with other people, like people who've been on my podcast, but then have gone off and been interviewed in their local news outlets, that they used my work to eliminate their long COVID. And I want to say that Gary's story is one of the most extreme I have ever come across. One of my favorite parts of it is that Gary lives in a remote village in New Zealand and had never heard a podcast in his life until he searched up this podcast and listened to it for the first time after reading a newspaper article about Lika, who was my first long COVID interview quite a while back, and she had made a full recovery, and he was so inspired by the story written by about her that he searched up his first ever podcast, and Gary found his way to the Cure for Chronic Pain, did the work, and is so thriving. And in fact, although I am replaying today an episode that was recorded a year ago, Gary and I have been in touch as of this week, and he is straight up symptom-free, not one thing, all these, this horror show that you're about to hear in his story, all the fatigue, the inability to, the brain fog so severe, he had an inability to locate words. He was essentially disabled. All of that has righted itself as he has regulated his nervous system through doing this work. And now he is actually dedicating a great part of his life helping others in that part of the world that have long COVID, and just like kind of guiding them through as a fellow traveler. So just super, super grateful to have come across Gary on this journey and to hear his story and to be a part of the success he's had, because it really makes me feel fantastic. And of course, is always an impetus for my overall mission, which is that everyone on earth should know that this work is an option. And so that's always my goal. So I'm going to play that interview for you today. And if you haven't heard it in a bit, do stick around and listen to it, because it's just stunning. It is stunning how sick the brain and the nervous system can make us when the perception is that they are keeping us alive. And it is stunning how that process can be circumvented with this work and people can arrive at absolute complete wellness. It's freaking amazing. So stick around and listen to that. Just a few announcements. My Omega retreat for next summer, Lisa and I will be coming back for her second year of being with me at the Omega Institute in New York. That is June 23rd through the 28th. That is going to be amazing. For those of you who were there last summer or are listening to the Omega Talks, which I'll say something about in a moment, Gigi Cockell, who had come last summer and did the neuroscience talk, has agreed to come back this summer, which is really, really exciting. And all of that is for sale right now. Those tickets are available to sign up to come to Omega for the 5-day retreat, live in person with me, with Lisa, and now with Gigi. And we have other incredible instructors that we're talking with right now who are going to be joining us. And so we'll be announcing them soon as well. So just go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the retreats tab. That will give you the link to sign up for Omega, or you can go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, and you will find my retreat called Freedom from Chronic Pain. So that's available. And what I just mentioned, the Live from Omega Talks. So Lisa and I decided that, you know, not everyone in the world can obviously come live to Omega. So we had 2 days of last year's Omega Talks recorded, and they are available for purchase. Over 7 hours of talks are available for purchase on my website now. They just dropped last week. So that is, once again, thecureforchronicpain.com. There is a bar at the top of the homepage that says Live from Omega that you can click to get there, or one of the tabs on the website is Live from Omega, and join us for that. It's an incredible opportunity to just be with these instructors and to sit there in the comfort of your own home and listen to these talks and learn and journal speak alongside the audience and meditate alongside the audience and get the tips and the knowledge. It really will speed up your recovery and bring you to places of epiphany that you probably have not seen yet. And, you know, not everybody can just do this stuff completely on their own. So that's why we continue to offer you more and more ways to connect. All right. So, last thing, if you want to join my membership community and be with Lisa and me live every month, 3 hours on Zoom, 1 hour on Q&A, and every day in our private Facebook community, just go to my website and scroll down a bit. You will see on the homepage a little bit below the center line, the button to sign up for the membership community live and in person with me every month. All right, my loves, enough of that. Enjoy this recap of the incredible journey that Gary took from long COVID to complete freedom. See you next week. Hello, everybody. Today we're here with Gary. Welcome, Gary.
Hi, Nicole.
Welcome from New Zealand. So we're talking in the, I love when this happens. It's so trippy. I am here and it is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And for Gary, it's tomorrow. It's 10 a.m., right?
It's 10 o'clock here. Yep. We're totally different time zone.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Like, it's not even the same day. It's tomorrow. I don't know. I get off on this stuff. Anyway, so Gary is here today because I came across his story on SpeakPipe. He reached out to me. As you guys know, if you're in my community, I have a way of capturing people's stories and their voices. It's called SpeakPipe. And he left me a message and he was kind of like, this is not something I often do. It's not really something I make a habit of doing, but I am so much better from my long COVID. My life is so changed from this work. I felt like I needed to reach out. And his SpeakPipe was so engaging that Lisa, my producer, and I decided that he had to come on the podcast if he was willing. And he said yes. And so, Gary, I just want to invite you to tell your story and to help us understand how this work changed your life with the long COVID.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. Yeah, so I'm Gary, and I live in a small town in Wanaka, called Wanaka in New Zealand. It's a very beautiful place with a lake and mountains all around. It's a very natural environment. Live here with my family, my wife Charlotte, and one son at home at the moment. And we have quite an active life, essentially. We ski and climb, and most weekends we're doing something quite physical. That's just where we are. I just want to say before I kick off that thank you very much for the opportunity to tell my story. I feel it's a bit of a privilege, to be honest, to share it. It's been quite a big it's a very important part of my life this last few months, it's really blown me away, to be honest. And I feel that I'd like, if possible, anybody else could benefit from what I have to say, as I have from listening to a podcast of somebody else who recovered. So that's why I'm here. So anyway, to get into it, I got COVID in beginning of June last year. And we, New Zealand was a little different from the rest of the world. We had managed to keep COVID out of the country for quite a long time while the States and Europe were really suffering. So we're a little behind in our COVID infection numbers. But last year, it sort of came through the country and we all got caught up in it, really, more most people. So my son came home with COVID one day, and we subsequently, my wife and I, caught it a week later. And actually, we thought it wasn't such a bad thing at that time. We were pretty sure we were going to get it. And we had a trip planned for September, actually, to fly to New York. And we thought if we get this over and done with now, that would be great. And we'll be healthy and well to travel.
Right.
So the COVID itself, the infection itself was you know, fairly mild, I would have said. It was, you know, 3 or 4 days of feeling quite unwell, a fever and malaise, just general symptoms. But I've felt, you know, I've had worse flus, let's say. So it wasn't a really bad time for me or my wife. And while it's, you know, I knew it had knocked me around a little bit, I sort of tried to get back into life probably on the fourth or fifth day.
Right.
And went for a little walk and went back to work, etc. You know, it sort of just, there was, I just didn't feel quite right, but I thought it's just a lingering, it's an infection, it makes sense.
Right.
And after 2 or 3 weeks, I was still just, there was just something not right. And on the third week, I went for a, went for a hunting trip with some friends, and this was a 3-day event, and it was quite physical. And I was I realized that I was really struggling. And when I came back from it, I was completely wiped out. And I guess that is the beginning of my long COVID journey. Things changed from that weekend.
So let me ask you a question, because I'm always curious about this with long COVID. Was it in your mind? Were you concerned? Were you thinking about the concept of long COVID?
What a great question. It was totally in my mind. I was really aware of it. And I think I was aware of long COVID much earlier than a lot of people around me. And I had noticed a report of a young Australian guy right at the beginning of COVID who was 20 years old, I think, and was really fit and caught COVID and had this long COVID. And I followed his journey, if you like.
Okay, so you were really informed.
I was well informed, and I got it. and okay, in fact, what I did say prior to getting it with my wife, I had said, I don't mind getting COVID, but I really don't want long COVID.
There you go. Okay. And yeah. I'm not saying it has to happen like that, but I'm really not surprised that that's the case, because we are so suggestible as human beings. I've been doing this forever, and there are so many people that tend to, and it does not mean we give ourselves things. It just means that our nervous systems are on a hair trigger. They're listening to every single thing we think, feel, and any whim we have, it registers in our body. So the fact that you were like, no, it means something.
Yeah, I'm certain now that I brought it upon myself in a way, if you like. But at the time, I was very aware of it. I started to display some of the symptoms of long COVID. They kind of came on gradually. I lead a fairly active life, so the physical side was much easier for me to identify, and fatigue was really creeping into my daily life. But I would sort of continue. I have an office job, so I continued going to work, and basically, I realized I was starting to lose my concentration. I wasn't able to find the right words. I wasn't able to take in what people were saying. And it's harder to measure on the cognitive side than it was on the physical side, because I had no real reference point. But I could just tell I was struggling, but I didn't really know what was going on. And there was a bit of confusion in my mind, but I didn't really attribute that to long COVID. I was just sort of focusing more on the physical aspect. And the physical aspect then started to deteriorate quite a bit worse. I guess over the following 2 to 3 months, because I couldn't really tell what was going on, I started to record what was happening with me. And I wouldn't, record my physical ability or deterioration. And it was becoming quite noticeable. My primary symptoms, though, I had this sort of, debilitating fatigue, I guess, the brain fog and concentration problems, but I was also starting to experience breathlessness and POTS, basically, or elevated POTS, heart rate. And it was quite scary. I felt unwell, and I couldn't really explain it. And I just thought, well, if I rest a little bit, or if I, it should just clear up like everything always does.
Were you calling it long COVID in your mind at this point?
I was at about 5 weeks and I decided to call it long COVID. And I went to a doctor to sort of see if I could, you know, see what they thought. And the doctor was, she's really very good. And she said, yeah, it could be, but it's still early days. You know, just, you know, let's just see what happens. So I, I was just seeing what happened and nothing really got better, but I guess you're right. I was starting to read about long COVID, starting to investigate it quite a bit. And there was a lot of reference to CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, ME, and the similarities between it. So I also, you know, went on to quite a few websites. Addressing
Dr. Google. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess through that time, I learned more about what the symptoms of those conditions were. But I was probably getting into a more fearful place that time.
Sure.
Because with CFS, of course, there are very long periods of people suffering, and not a real answer for recovery. At least on those sites that I was reading. So I was getting a little worried that I might, deteriorate further.
Were you still working at this time?
I worked during that time up to a point, it was 3 months. At 3 months, I had to stop work. I was doing some conference calls and things like that, and I noticed that I couldn't take in what was being said at the other end. And
wow, that's pretty terrifying.
It was quite a scary time, and I had to really be guarded on what I said, because I realized that the words I was saying wasn't what I meant to say. I have in my mind what I wanted to say, but the words that came out were different, and I couldn't correct myself. So I thought this is, and I started to make some mistakes at my work in this. So I was like, this is no good. And also, I had to lie down at work quite a lot,
right.
And rest. So finally I stopped work, and I thought I'll just stop for a month or so. And so around that time I went to see my doctor, and I went to see her again. I says, look, this is what's happening. And she says, okay, you've definitely got all the symptoms of long COVID. I thought, what's the answer? And she was very honest and says, we don't have one. We don't know a lot about the condition, and we don't really have anything for treatment except sort of resting and pacing.
I have to just say here, Gary, like, this is why I get very urgent about getting this message out, because I cannot imagine, when I listen to these stories, I stop being me for a moment, and I get into your mind, and I get into the mind of someone who, you know, has been active his whole life, goes on hunting trips. His life is defined by, you know, being a person in the world and going to work and being active and being able to do whatever he wants. Now you can't even come up with the right words. You have to leave work. God knows you can't be active at all. You probably could barely even walk around your house. And then you have a doctor saying, we have no idea what to say to you. I mean, the concept of it is crushing when I put myself in that moment.
Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. It was exactly that. I had lost, I started to lose my physical ability completely. I was reduced to walking around the block, which was a real struggle even to do that, which is, we're talking just a few hundred yards. You know, it was nothing.
Right.
And I come back exhausted. And on the mental, the cognitive side, I was really compromised. I was unable to read. I couldn't read at all.
Well, when you say you weren't able to read, do you mean you weren't able to comprehend, or you literally couldn't read?
I could maybe read the words, and after a paragraph, I couldn't take it in.
Wow.
It was
that's real. I mean, I see that as just the most high. It's like the highest panic response is the way I'm interpreting it. You know, your nervous system was literally an absolute fight or flight. It was like your faculties were all about survival in those moments.
Very much. It was like that. And I mean, I was reduced to lying in a beanbag, essentially, physically. And then when I realized I couldn't read, or actually I couldn't really even go on the internet, or surf or whatever, I couldn't research for myself because it was just too exhausting. And that was a really scary time where I was, I just felt that my life was running away on me. I was in a holding pattern and I couldn't do anything to help myself.
How would you describe your feelings at this time? I mean, what were your thoughts around your existence?
Well, it was a dark period. I've had depression once before in my life, mild depression, and I was wondering if I was depressed. But actually, I never really felt depressed. I felt incredibly frustrated, and scared. I was terrified that I was going to become bedridden, and I'd done different things. I'd got a heart rate monitor, for instance, to measure my abilities, and I thought at least I'll prove to myself that I'm getting better. But it was just showing I was getting worse. I would do the same thing 1 week later, and my heart rate was higher. I'd come back more breathless. Everything was getting worse. And to lose my mind, for want of a better word, was really, really scary. I was unable to communicate with anybody, really. My wife was a godsend in this time and has been throughout. And I had to, I narrated a little message for her to pass to my friends and my family to say that, you know, I'm not able to talk to them. Because I didn't have the energy to explain that individually to the people I know. It was just too exhausting.
Wow. I got to tell you, Gary, I've talked to a lot of people about long COVID. Your story is really rocking me to the core. I mean, like you just said at the opening of the interview, you know, this work has blown your mind. I can imagine it has, because to be that, that low. So tell me, what was the turning point? How did we go from that to what we see today?
Okay, so in spite of all of this, of what I was feeling, I had an underlying belief, I don't know where this came from, that actually there's nothing wrong with me. And it sounds
wow, really I love it. Weird. No, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, and so I went to my doctor, and I spoke to her and I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with me. And we both had a bit of a laugh, and because it was obvious that it was just a mess. And she says, and she was so supportive, she says, okay, let's just do the tests and see. So we did bloods and, chest x-ray, ECG. And she says, well, you know, let's find out and see if you're right. So all results came back perfect. I had not, you know, that, no, that
nothing was wrong with you, technically.
Nothing was essentially wrong with me. And she says, you know, this now confirms you are right, you know. But I explained my symptoms to her, and she says, you know, well, that's your autonomic nervous system is stuck in fight or flight, and that could explain those symptoms. And, you know, I could still take some things in, and I was like, okay, if it's just that, I only have to work on that, not all these individual symptoms. So it was kind of refreshing to hear that. And I, you know, and I also, you know, I did so much research, and there was something bound, you know, like 200 symptoms being bounded around. I was like, this just doesn't make sense, you know.
Yeah.
And also, the likelihood of a pill or something coming along that's going to resolve 200 different symptoms. I mean, it just didn't seem realistic to me. And I also am a bit impatient. I was like, I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to wait for that. So my wife helped me tremendously. I said, what I'd like to do is look for people who have recovered.
Great. And good idea.
Yeah, try and do what they did. You know, I was unable to. I started first, and I typed in long COVID recovered, and nothing came up. There wasn't a single site or anything that had, you know, stories of people who had recovered. There were thousands of ones talking about recovery, but nothing actually recovered. And I was, you know, it was a bit of a low point for me, because I was like, has nobody recovered?
Right.
So I didn't have the ability to look any further, and my wife sort of just stepped in and locked onto the job for me, and researched tirelessly trying to find stories of people who had recovered. And eventually she did. She found amongst other things, she found these two websites. One was which was recoverynorway.org. And the other one was Long COVID Cured, I think, longcovidcured.org. Anyway, she found these, which both contained stories of people who had recovered. But at that time, I was unable to read them. But I knew they were there. So I then decided that I need to dial my life back even further, to try and regain my cognitive side. So I moved out of our house into a caravan by the lake and lived by myself for a period of 1 to 2 months.
Wow. Why did you think that was going to be what you needed?
I had a really supportive and comfortable environment at home. But I just felt tired all the time. I felt a bit guilty about just lying down, even though I was allowed and it was justified. I felt that I needed to convalesce.
You didn't want the pressure of being watched or seen. You wanted to just be on your own.
I wanted to be on my own. You're right. I didn't want to be seen in that condition. I also, you know, I'd read quite a bit, so I sort of did a bit of battle about, you know, most of the things talking about recoveries for CFS and that were talking about, you know, pacing yourself and resting your way through it. And yet I had tried that, but I was still getting worse. I had always sort of gone for little walks, and I thought if I move out to this place, I'll start fresh. I'll try and even do very less walks, just the absolute minimum amount possible, and just try and build up some mental energy. And so that happened. I was able to, after a few weeks, to actually regain a little bit of concentration. And I guess the turning point was it was around that time, but what I had noticed was I thought I was actually recovering because my symptoms were backing off. And then one day we started to put the awning up on my caravan. It was a small job, and my wife and I, and then I was doing this very minimal physical activity, and I realized that I had to sit down every 2 to 3 minutes to get my breath back. And it was such a blow, because what I came to realize was that I wasn't recovering. I'd just spent the last week below my baseline, if you like.
Right,
I hadn't, you know, done anything to trigger my symptoms. But now I'd done the smallest thing, and they were all there. And I was really, that was a low point, because I was like, I'm not getting better. But my cognitive was slightly there. So that night I started to read the stories of the people who had recovered. I just had enough in my mind to read them. And I read the story of a woman named Esther. And it's very hard to explain just how mentally compromised I was, because it was very difficult to take in. But in it, she talked about listening to the podcast from between yourself and Lika.
Yes.
Who also recovered from long COVID using your stuff. And that was the first bit of inspiration that I had. I've got just the tiniest little thing here that I a link to something that could perhaps, that I could follow. So I then went, I have never heard a podcast in my life.
Never heard a podcast. Wait, are you telling me that my podcast is the first podcast you ever heard in your whole life?
It is.
Nice.
I didn't even know how to do it, to be honest. I had to find the podcast app. And
good for searched. You. Did it.
I did it, and I searched for it, and I listened to that podcast, that interview between you and Lika, and it was fantastic. I had so much identification with her when she was ill, and it just gave me a lot of hope. And there was a reference in that podcast to your Healing Yourself course, parts 1 to 4, I think it was called. So, I mean, I just wrote down any tiny thing I could find. And at the end of that podcast, I went on and located those short videos, that short series of videos that you have. And I listened to those. And I knew at that point that I'm going to find a way out of
amazing.
Where I was.
So it makes me feel so good.
It was incredible. I can't really explain how overpowering that was for me, from a place of sort of no hope to almost a point of, I knew that I was going to get better. It was just such a shift. And the things that struck out to me during that was, I mean, you know it, obviously you recorded it, did it, but for a person in my condition at that time, I needed to hear somebody say, if you do this, you'll get well.
Yeah.
And I had heard nobody say that. And you looked me in the eye and said, if you do this, I promise you, you'll get well. And I was like, you're shitting me. This woman is promising me that I'll get well. I was like, this must be a catch. And then in the last part, you told me exactly what I had to do. And I was like, this is amazing. Someone has guaranteed that I'm going to get well, and they've told me what to do. And this, I think, is just it's so good, you know. And I had always been afraid of, you know, I had seen the odd thing out there, but my biggest fear was throwing the limited energy I had into something that might be the wrong thing.
Right.
And because I had only so much concentration time, that I was afraid that if I invest that unwisely, I'm just going to get worse and not going to better myself. So this was like, it was sort of a goldmine for me. I really felt that it was, it was going to help me. And I've listened to it a few times since because it was so meaningful for me, but you said, you know, this can work for you. And you mentioned about, you know, some people struggling with the concept of an emotional exercise curing a physical condition.
Right.
And for once in my life, because I'm a little skeptical, I guess, cynical even on things, but at that, I had absolutely no problem embracing that concept. And the reason was, I was young, maybe 7 or 8 years old. I can remember every Sunday afternoon around 2 o'clock, I would get this incredible headache. This migraine would come on like clockwork for maybe 1 or 2 years, that I would have to, I'd have to go to my bedroom and lie down with the curtains closed. It was just, it was really hard for a child. And even at that time, and I was so young, I somehow knew that I was responsible for it, if you like, that I had sort of caused it, I guess. Although I had no idea how.
Let's make that a little more gentle, just because I always am so protective of you, of all the yous out there, that you didn't cause it and you're not responsible for it. But that doesn't mean that it isn't, endemic to the human condition, that when we have big feelings, sometimes they just overflow and there's nowhere to put them and the body will carry them for us. And I'm sure in your little 7 or 8 year old mind, you knew that there was something happening inside of you that was causing this to be, the signal to be fired that you have this bad headache. And I think that it's just so important to frame it that way, because I find in my experience that when people feel that they are responsible for something, they become one of two things. They become either defensive or they become really self-pitying. And I've been both of those people so many times that I can really stand in solidarity with each of you who are feeling that. So I think what I hear from you, Gary, really, it's kind of a beautiful thing. It's kind of like, despite yourself, both as a 7-year-old and as a grown man with horrible long COVID symptoms, there was some sort of small, still voice inside that said, I know that I'm in here and I know that I have agency. I know I have power here because I must be involved in the fact that this is happening. And that is actually a really, really great way to be, because then you can actually take hold of the reins when somebody, in this case me, says to you, you're going to be fine. This is what you need to do.
Absolutely. You're so spot on, and I guess I wasn't, I wasn't blaming myself for creating these things, but I knew that nothing externally was responsible for them. It's not possible to get a headache at 2 o'clock every Sunday. Nobody right, else right. did. It just didn't make sense, even to a child. So right. when you were talking about pain being having an emotional origin, or potentially having an emotional origin, it wasn't difficult for me to grasp that, because I felt that was something that I'd done earlier in my life. So I really got that concept very quickly, and then the leap into the reversing that pain, if you like, through an emotional exercise was very simple for me, because I could understand the first part of it, of pain or discomfort or symptoms being created from an emotional basis. So I was probably really lucky that I had that, otherwise I might not have locked into it so early. But I just bought into it immediately. So it was I went to bed that night going, wow, there's hope. There's one, I've listened to Lika's story, she recovered. And the other lady who wrote in the beginning, Esther, she's recovered. There's two people who have recovered using this this means. It's amazing. I hadn't heard any more. So the next day I woke up and I started, in the reference that you did, you said, okay, if your pain is really bad, journal twice a day. So I said, right, I started immediately the next day doing what you explained in that series. I started journaling twice a day, and I didn't really know how to meditate, but I had been doing these breathing exercises where I could calm myself down through breathing. So I would follow each journaling exercise with a sort of 20-minute period of this breathing where I'd relax.
It was.
I mean, I didn't know what was happening, but I sort of, for once in my life, I really trusted the process. I trusted you, and I really believed that that I was going to, that it was going to work. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. From that day, for the next month, I kept a very comprehensive record, written record of what was happening in my life, right from what I was eating to how I was feeling emotionally and physically when I woke up, what I would do each day, as well as observations of things. I mean, it was a bit of a wee project for me. And I have that. And while I feel, part of me now feels like that was a great time, actually, I was getting, my symptoms were playing with me. They were, I was getting a lot of resistance. But what I do notice, and I've read it recently, is at the end of each day, I still wrote, in spite of what was happening, that I really believe I'm on the right track. And this was every day written.
And did you actually believe it, Gary, or were you trying to convince yourself?
No, I did. I did believe it. And I went to the doctor again about 10 days into this writing, or into the process. And I told her what I was doing. She says, so how do you feel? And I says, I feel like crap. I says, that's really, I says, I feel much worse. And she says, well, what do you think about that? And I says, I think it's really working.
Gary, I love you. Your attitude is just so great. I feel like crap, it's working. But you're right, because if your nervous system thinks that you are in so much danger from whatever was repressed in there that it needs to basically paralyze you with these symptoms, then obviously it's not just going to let go of the wheel right away. It has to make sure you're safe. And so you're right. You know, sometimes it does get worse before it gets better, but then it gets a lot better.
Well, that's what happened. I really believed it, around 10 days in, then I purchased your course, the healing.
The Freedom from Chronic Pain course?
Freedom from Chronic Pain course, because I really felt that, in this initial period, I knew stuff was happening. There were a few teary moments when I was journaling. I was getting stuff out, let's say. There wasn't big, weren't big things. But there was enough there. And I knew that, because I've never done that sort of process before. I've never had therapy or, I've never dug into that, and I didn't find it unpleasant. I found it actually was very doable, but I knew that I was churning stuff up in there, and this was the reaction I was having as a result of that. So I decided to purchase the course because I thought that it might give me some more structure And it really did. So so I started your course of exercises that day. And from that day on, I did one journaling and one exercise every day for the next 14 days or around that time. And there's two little things I'll mention. One was something sort of just from out of the blue. A week before I read your podcast, I bought a new pillow, and I got my first night I slept in it. I woke in the morning, I had this incredible pain between my shoulder blades. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense. It's just a pillow, you know, but
right.
Every day, you know, starting to hurt during a day, and then it would go away. And then, you know, the next day I'd wake up, but I was like, it's sort of more in my neck and, you know, but not in the same, quite the same place, but whatever. And so I was reading about, you know, this pain shifting and things like that.
Yeah. So TMS shifts around.
Yes. So I had this little mini project going on where I thought, I wonder if this could be something to do with that, because it's a brand new symptom. And remarkably, I was doing something and I sort of had this pain in my back, and I was just said the word anxiety out loud. I was talking, you know, saying something, not to anyone, I was saying. And when I said that word, the pain went away, and I thought, oh, that's just a freak accident. And the pain came back again, and so I forgot about it, and I was like, oh, I wonder. So I said the word anxiety again, and the pain went away. And I was,
oh my God, this is too good. I want to just say, I want to say why this is so good, because you have to understand that sometimes we can wear this a little loosely and be playful about it. Your nervous system and your body and your whole system, it's not against you. Everybody's on the same team, but it's like you were on the edge of really, I can tell because I know the end of this story and it's a good ending. You were on the edge of making some real progress, and probably your nervous system was on that hair trigger between fight or flight and rest and repair. And when you were introducing into your consciousness the concept of maybe I'm anxious, maybe I don't need to feel it in my back, maybe I can feel it in my heart, maybe I can be a little more conscious of this, your body responded. And it's just, to me, it's delightful, because I've just seen it in my own body. I've had that kind of shit happen to me a lot. And so that is something that really speaks to me.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And it was, I mean, that just reinforced even further.
Yeah, of course.
This works. I mean, it was, I was literally playing with it. You know, I would just tell my wife, you know, it's there. And I would think, in the end, I could just sort of think the words and I could, it would go away. Not permanently, but it would go away. And so I was like, this is sort of blowing my mind a little bit. So I had that just going on the side. And then I was probably about just under a month into since I started the process. And I decided I'd treat myself to go and visit a friend who lived about 2 hours away. I hadn't done anything recreational for a long time. I was going to go and meet him and go fishing. And the drive to where he lives, it's quite a remote area, and it's over, you know, it's over some mountains and over a pass. And there's no phone reception or anything on this road. So the day before, I decided to go on the Saturday, and the day before I was feeling a little bit of anxiety, but I just sort of, you know, thought, that's okay. I'm really looking forward to this. So the next morning I woke up and I got in the car and was all prepared and drove over. And as I was driving over, I felt this anxiety like I've never felt in my life. It was unbelievable. It was right through my body and my mind, and I was really annoyed at it, because I was really looking forward to going and having this day, and I was like, I haven't got really a care in the world apart from all my symptoms of it, but it was I was like, this should be a good day. And my mind was locked onto these, it was obsessing on, like, I'd left something behind, and I was like, it doesn't matter, but it would just lock onto it. And I was really thinking at that time, it's the first time I was ever thinking that, God, maybe I really have to start taking some medication or something to calm myself. This is it's kind of unbearable. And anyway, I was driving along and I just gone over the summit of this mountain and was starting to head down the other side. And I lost steering and brakes of my
vehicle. Okay, yeah. That's a twist, plot twist.
It was. I didn't really know, I'd understand what was happening at the time, but I was able to find a place, safe place to just pull over. And as I was pulling over, smoke was coming out from under the front of my, from the engine compartment of my car. And I was, it was on fire underneath. So what happened was my engine had cut out and I'd lost the power to my brakes and steering. And it was a pretty freaky moment. So I pulled over and got out and essentially, watched my car burn to the ground on the side.
Are you serious? The road. Wow. Okay. And did you actually not have cell service?
No, there was nothing there. Some people had come along and we tried to put it out with fire extinguisher. It was impossible. And they, sort of carried on and were trying to get to some reception to call fire service and police or whatever. But I can remember sitting there on the side of the road looking at this thing burning, going, this is the most anxious, before that having this is the most anxious I've ever felt in my life. And now the universe has decided to set my car on fire while I'm driving it.
Wow.
It was almost, I had to laugh. I was like,
gets funny at that point.
It was like, I am creating anxiety for myself, and the universe is going, you think that's anxiety?
Right. I'll give you something anxiety. To cry about.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just one of those moments where I was like, this is incredible. So I don't really know, I don't really know what to make of all that, but I haven't experienced any anxiety since that moment. Anyway, it was a part of my story. And shortly after that, I went back and continued doing this course. And so it was really just an example of the symptoms. The symptoms were moving in me. I was feeling more intensity in some or less in the other. And I know that my symptoms sort of swapped into anxiety that day or manifested differently.
It's very common, very common.
Yeah. And, that just further reinforced, if you like, that it was exactly what you were telling me was happening, was going on, So I just persevered doing the work. I just did the work. I don't have to think about too much else. And I remember you saying it at the very beginning in that healing yourself things, that if you want to learn what's going on or what's happening here, you can read these books or you can learn about it. Or if you don't want to, you just do it. It'll still work.
Just do the work and let your body be your proof.
Yeah. And normally I'm quite curious, but I was like, I haven't got the mental energy to research any of this. I'm just going to trust you and trust this process, and I'm just going to do it. And if I get well, there's plenty of time to research that later. So it was really good advice. And so from within a few days after the anxiety experience, I'd sort of finished your exercises, and I drove back to my house, and I told my wife I've recovered, and I went and did 3 hours exercise of climbing and riding a bike.
Wait a second. You're saying, so this is what I'm hearing. You're saying you finished the course and you kind of, your mindset had been in this situation. First of all, the anxiety experience in the car actually basically burning to the ground, that probably moved you into some level of rest and repair just because you actually had an emergency, you know? And so I think what happens with people is we manufacture, and we don't mean to, but we manufacture a lot of what's going on inside of us because we're so scared and we're so, you know, we're dipping into this reservoir of unfelt feelings and trauma. But when something real happens, something real right in front of our face happens, sometimes it does help us to get perspective. Like, holy shit, that was concrete right in front of my face. I was in real danger. And it sometimes does help to reset it. But you finished the course and you basically made a decision. You said, I got it. You know, I can be better now. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It is credible. There was a night, it's probably about two nights before I finish it. I was doing one of the exercises where you kind of draw yourself and label your symptoms. Yeah. And I ended up drawing the words, or the only pain, the words that were left were doubt and fear. Mm-hmm. By coincidence that night, I ended up looking at another something on Dr. Howard Schubiner's website, where there was an explanation about, you know, sort of the brain retraining and whatever, and it clicked perfectly with what I'd just done with you about. So it's only really me keeping myself sick now. I think the origin of my symptoms, I think I've addressed, but now it's up to me. It's fear keeping my symptoms here. And right. That night I knew I would recover. In fact, I was lying in bed going, well, I can't wait to share this with other people. You know, I know I'm not recovered yet, but I absolutely knew I would. And I was already planning meeting some of the other people I knew who had long COVID to be thinking how I can maybe help them. Yet I hadn't recovered myself, but it was so, I so got it. So like, it just fit perfectly together that I was absolutely 1,000% convinced. I just knew that I'm going to recover. And so I learned some little things about how to talk my symptoms down. When things would come into my mind, I would chant certain things. And I realized that, I had to remind my unconscious, I guess, that I'm safe. And so I would chant the word when I was doing something physical. I would chant, physical exertion is keeping me safe and keeps me safe afterwards as well, because I was experiencing that sort of post-exertional malaise earlier on, where I would do something and I felt okay doing it, but later I would crash tremendously. So I would say that this isn't just good for me now, this is good for me later as well. So I did a lot of that in a few short days, and it didn't it's not like everything went away after 1 month, but I absolutely knew it was going to. So my symptoms did drop away after just under 5 weeks, and the following week they came back for 2 days. It was I felt it was like a last ditch effort.
That it's normal.
Trying to come and have another attack at me. But by that time, I had real knowledge that I'm all over this. I know what to do. And I used those tools, and I you know, I put them away, put those symptoms away in 2 days, and I haven't had a symptom since that day.
Wow. So how far out, just in terms of time, are we today from the day that you came home and decided, I'm done, I'm well, I'm going to go exercise for 3 hours? How long between then and now?
That was the beginning of December. So 2 months. It's 2 months.
Okay. So for the last 2 months, so give me a little snapshot of where I find you today, Gary.
Well, very grateful place. I guess when I was, you know, in my worst space, I can remember going, I just want my old life back. It would be so awesome if I could. I have my old life back totally. There's nothing that I was doing before that I cannot do now. I think 2 weeks, well, before Christmas, which was only 2 or 3 weeks after, we travelled to Australia and spent Christmas over there with my wife's family and things like that. I'm working. I'm doing everything I did beforehand. My life is completely back. And in fact, I had to actually check my notes before I came on to do this podcast, just to, because I have the luxury of I can't remember exactly how I felt right at that time, yet it was only 2 months ago.
Right. It's kind of like, it's like women say when they give birth, it's like it's amnesia. Like you forget how bad it was.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, but I know, you know, I know I won't forget it. But I am, you know, I just totally, how can I say it? I totally believe the process. I believed it before I started, and that was a critical part of it. I remember saying that was one of the first things is you need to believe. I believed it. But it's so, you know, I think you also said there's, you know, something like a profound thing when you experience something for yourself.
Yes.
And that's what it's been for me. It's been probably the most profound thing that's ever happened in my life. And to the extent that I read about it, something to do with it every day. And hopefully that I can perhaps help somebody else, not just for long COVID, but with some other chronic conditions or whatever. You know, I have a bit more knowledge now. I've read Dr. Sarno's books and yours, and I have my mind back, so I can do all the old stuff.
So all your cognitive stuff is back. Everything is fine.
It is. It took a little longer than the physical, strangely. It took probably a few weeks longer. I didn't realize how cognitively compromised I really was until it came back. I remember coming back from, you know, home one day saying to Charlotte, wow, I thought I was feeling normal, but, you know, I've got a lot more concentration in that now. So it took a little while to come back, but I like to think I've got it all now.
Yeah. as much as any of us have it. Well, Gary, this is the most wonderful story. You will 100% be helping other people. And, you know, I have to tell you, I've been doing this so long, and it's not that I become so used to it that I don't feel it anymore, but there's definitely, you know, there's some sense of when you hear this enough, it's not as, you know, mind-blowing as maybe it was the first time or the 10th time or the 100th time. However, when you said to me during this talk, you read the article by Esther and she mentioned Lika, and then you listened to Lika and me on my podcast, and I'm sitting here thinking, God, it really got me. Like, I almost started to cry because I'm thinking, this is this man's whole life. Like, this is a human being's whole life. And had I not had that conversation with Lika, and forget me, had Lika not been brave enough to do this work for herself and then to reach out to me and to say, I want to help other people, then you might never have seen it. And it's like, when I can go into that space and really occupy that space, it is so moving. It's so overwhelming, the beauty of human connectedness and of each of us just doing the work we're meant to do and being brave and doing the next right considered action. And it's all just, you know, it's really big. It's really huge. And I am so thrilled that this has been something that you found in your life. I am very proud to be your first podcast of your whole life. I actually think you're the first person that's ever said that to me. So that's pretty awesome. So Gary, I'm going to ask you the question I ask all of my success stories, which is you are looking out potentially to a sea of millions of people, potentially on the worst day you ever had. That could be somebody's day when they're listening to this podcast. And what advice would you give them about this process?
Well, yeah, look, on the worst days, obviously, it's never going to last. This too will pass. Things are always in a kind of cycle. For this process in particular, if you persevere, you'll get results. It may be uncomfortable, and it may get more uncomfortable, but just keep on going and believing. I think the belief is the most incredible, most important part, I would say. You have to maintain that belief. And as long as you keep believing, then it'll give you the inspiration to just keep doing, and you'll get little bits of improvement. And all of a sudden, you know, and you really believe it works.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I often say that there are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And what I hear you saying, Gary, is you really did it, you know, because I mean, first you said, you know, I trusted the process. I trusted you, Nicole, and I decided I'm going to do this. Then you did the work, you know, you took the course, you really did it. But I think probably the whole time, the way it translates for me is the way you wore it loosely, the way you weren't desperate for something to be better, the way you even went to your doctor 10 days in and she said, "How are you?" And you said, "I'm a mess. I feel terrible," because you knew that it was okay. You were holding the space for yourself very gently to just let it be the process. And that's what I really want people to hear, because I know that everyone is a clock watcher. We all are. We all want to say, "When am I going to be better?" That is so human. It's so natural. And if you can just slow down, be gentle with yourself, wear it loosely, and just do the work, your belief will come incrementally, because your body becomes your proof. When you start seeing your back pain, you know, moving around because you say, "Hey, anxiety, I see you, anxiety," you know, that kind of stuff, it really creates a deepening of a knowledge that this process is going to change and rewire your brain. And it's really a beautiful thing. So Gary, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks, Nicole. It's really been a pleasure and to interact with someone who was so instrumental in my recovery. I really can't imagine where I'd be today if I hadn't come across your work and the, you know, it's like you say, the links that I got toward it. It's been a life changer for me. Definitely the biggest thing that's ever happened to me in my time, and I won't be forgetting it.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you. And for all of you guys out there, I'm sure there are plenty of gems you got from this conversation wherever you are on the journey. I'll speak for Gary and myself. We want you to be better, and we believe in you, and we know you can do it. And we promise. So I'm going to say it from both of us, like I said it to him the day he needed it. If you do this work with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, you will see a shift. You can recover. And I really, really do believe that. And so that's our message for you today. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it so people like Gary can listen to their first podcast ever in their entire lives. And I've just loved being with you guys today. So until next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.